I'm so glad you could all come out this evening to spend Christmas Eve with us. I was thinking about this great event that happened more than 2,000 years ago. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, coming to this place to become a human being like you and me. And I was thinking, how can I in some way make this very real to us? And I was thinking to do it visually. And so I've got some pictures that I have here to show you tonight. This is our cat. When I was a kid growing up, the cat's name is Katie. And Katie was my mom's favorite. Everyone else could fend for themselves, but my mom would make sure that Katie is cared for. And Katie lived with us in this house. This house was in a town called Uitenhage, which is in South Africa, and that's what the town looked like. So you can see what I'm doing here. I'm going from Katie and I'm zooming out. And from Katie now and from our house, I can now see the town. And if I zoom out some more, I can see the continent of Africa. Because South Africa is a country in Africa, of course. Now you wonder where I'm going with this. Well, I'm going to zoom out some more. And when I do that, I can see the whole planet. Isn't that beautiful? It's called the blue planet. Because you see all the blue of the oceans. But it's, the blue and green are so striking. What a wonderful place. If I zoom out some more, and I take a look at our planet from the moon, it looks like this. Isn't that crazy? Someone standing on the moon and taking a picture of Earth. I don't know who this astronaut was, but he was taking a picture of his family back home. Couldn't see his own house or his own town, but he could see the planet. And that's where they were. In 1990, the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, the spaceship Voyager 1 was traveling through space, actually leaving the solar system. And it got instructions from NASA to say, turn around and take a picture of the Earth. So, the Voyager 1 turned around, put its cameras back on Earth, and this is what it saw. You see the arrow? Just above the arrow, there's a little blue dot. That blue dot is us. Anyone here who was alive, February 14, 1990. Can I see your hand? If you were alive in that time. You are in that picture. You were here when that picture was taken. Can you see yourself? Hi, Mom. Isn't this unbelievable? Our planet, who is the home for all human beings. Every person who's ever lived on this planet. Every person who ever had a dream on this planet. Every person who achieved anything, achieved it here. The wars that have been fought. The blood that has been spilled. Not only the bad things, but the good things. People who did great efforts and great exploits. People who sacrificed themselves. People who gave of themselves to save others. The kindness, the generosity, the empathy that was showed was on this planet, on that little dot. Every superstar, whether it was an actor or a singer, a performer, doesn't matter. Every superstar who ever lived on that little dot. Doesn't it just change your perspective? But here's the thing where Christmas is so very, very interesting. Because at Christmas time, we think about God, who is the creator of all the universe, going to that little dot to be born there as a human being. Isn't that amazing? J.B. Phillips writes a story, fictional story, about two angels, a senior angel and a junior angel. And the senior angel takes the junior angel on a trip of the galaxies. They fly around through space. They look at all the beautiful places in space. He takes him around. He shows him everything that God has created. And it's beautiful and it's magnificent and it's glorious. And eventually, he brings him to our solar system. And he shows him that pale blue dot. And the young angel can't understand what's the big deal. Just another little speck of dust. And the senior angel says, "This is the most important planet of them all." And the other angel said, "Well, why? Why would that be important? There's nothing important. There's nothing great about that little speck of dust." And the senior angel said, "That is where our Savior went. That is where our Savior was born as a human being. Because God so loved the people on that little planet that He sent His one and only Son. So whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life." And the junior angel didn't know what to say. But in his question, I can find a connection. In his question, I can see many people who would question this. Who would say, "This seems too good to be true. How can we believe that that little speck is the most important place in all the universe?" We have our scriptures that tell us. Scriptures explain everything to us. How God came to this earth, how He was born, and how He lived as a human being. How He died on a cross, how He purchased salvation for us, and how He opened up a way for us to have eternal life. But people question the scriptures. They say, "How do you know that it's all true? We don't have the manuscripts, the originals. These are copies of copies of copies that people have made. So how can we trust that?" What I find very interesting is that people choose what to trust and not to trust. Because when we look at antiquity, we don't have any originals for Julius Caesar's writings. We don't have any for Socrates. We don't have any for Plato. We don't have any for anyone who lived in those times. Yet we trust what they have written. In fact, I can bring it much closer to our time. How about William Shakespeare? Do you know that we don't have any original manuscripts from Shakespeare? Many people would consider him one of the greatest English writers of all time, and yet we don't even know if he could write two sentences. In the Smithsonian magazine, they reported this, and they said, "That's what's so damning about the documentary record. The greatest manhunt in literary history has turned up no manuscripts, no letters, and no diaries for William Shakespeare." Isn't that amazing? And yet, no one would question what Shakespeare wrote. No one would question any of the plays that he wrote and said, "Those are from Shakespeare, right?" Even in South Africa, when I was at school, we had to study William Shakespeare. I think if we have intellectual integrity, we have to understand that there are times and places in history where nothing has been preserved for us that was original. In the Smithsonian magazine, They said, of course, few letters or diaries of commoners from that time have survived. Because William Shakespeare was a commoner. Most of his plays were written after his death by friends and fellow actors who were with him. Jesus Christ was a commoner. When he lived, he was just a normal human being. But after his death, everything came into perspective. One of the witnesses who saw this baby Jesus being born was Simeon. I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, the ESV. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. You see, Simeon was a righteous man and a devout man, a man who honored God and would go to the temple on a regular basis. And in his heart, he had this promise that he would see the Christ, the Messiah. He would see God's salvation coming to this small little planet somewhere in the universe. And lo and behold, one day when he went to that temple, there was another couple there, Mary and Joseph. And they brought their baby, Jesus, to that temple. And in the temple, they connected in some way. And when Simeon saw this baby, he knew through the Holy Spirit that this was the Christ child. That this child would bring salvation for all people from all nations. Simeon never saw that child grow old. He never saw that child go to the cross. He never saw that child die or that child be raised from the dead. He only saw the baby. But he had faith. And when the Spirit made clear to him, when the Spirit opened his eyes to see that this was the Christ, Simeon blessed the Lord. He prayed and he thanked the Lord. And he said, now your servant can depart because now I have seen your salvation with my eyes. Wonderful words of faith spoken by Simeon. My youngest son, Miguel, was part of a Shakespeare play just a few weeks ago. It's called As You Like It. And many of you would know of one of the famous quotes from this play. One of the characters, Jacques, enters and he has these lines. He says, all the world is a stage. All men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. When we think about our world, that pale blue dot we saw as the stage where all humanity plays out, where everyone has an exit and an entrance, Simeon had entered long before. He was an old man when he saw the baby. But Simeon wasn't ready to exit until he had seen the salvation that God gave. You and I are also players on that stage. We had our entrances, and we will have our exit. My question to you is, are you ready to exit? Have you seen the salvation that God gave to us? Have your spiritual eyes been opened that you understand that in this Christ Jesus there is salvation for you and for me? We don't know when we will exit. Some of us sitting here tonight might not be here next year. Anything could happen. There are many different ways in which people exit from this world. But the question you have to ask yourself is this: am I ready to exit? I entered the stage. I had no choice. I'm going to exit. I'm probably going to have no choice. But will I be ready? Have my eyes seen the salvation of God in this place? Let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for loving us to such a degree that you would send your Son Jesus Christ to this small little planet, this pale blue dot that seems so insignificant in the big, great universe. And yet you valued us so highly. My prayer tonight, Lord, is that each one of us, before we exit from this stage, that our eyes would be opened, that we would see your salvation, and that we would accept Him by faith. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight who've never seen that, I pray that you would open their eyes to see. And if there are people here tonight who have seen but have step back, and in some way, shape or form they've lost their perspective, I pray that you would restore their eyesight, Lord. You are a God of restoration. You are a God of redemption. And so that's my prayer, Lord, that you would restore the sight to the blind. May your name be glorified. And may your kingdom come, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.